Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can walk through this account of Jesus' suffering again this year. We pray that as we reflect on it, you would deepen our love for you and our readiness to serve you, to become more like Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Here's a simple question. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Well, Tony's going to play us a little clip with one man's answer. Let's listen.
I find, wherever I go today, that the number one question that is asked me is this. How can you know that you're a Christian? How can you be sure that you're a Christian? And many are asking, what is a Christian? The Bible teaches that a Christian, first of all, is a person who recognizes that he is a lawbreaker. Well, you say, I haven't broken any laws, perhaps a traffic violation, but I've never really broken any real laws. But the Bible says you've broken moral law. Every one of us have broken the Ten Commandments. We have failed to live up to the Sermon on the Mount. And certainly we've broken the great commandment that says thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy mind and strength and soul, and thy neighbor is thyself.
Did anyone recognize the voice? One, two, yes. It was Billy Graham indeed. It's quite an old recording, as you heard. It's a young Billy Graham speaking at the All Scotland Crusade in 1955. Now, of course, Billy Graham died last week at the age of 99. He was arguably one of the most influential Christian personalities worldwide in the 20th century. He spoke to millions around the world. He spoke with presidents, with kings, with queens, and with millions of normal people like you and me. He spoke in communist countries well before the Iron Curtain came down. He refused to speak in South Africa until the ruling apartheid government conceded that there would be no segregation at his rallies. He even managed to speak in North Korea. Billy Graham got a lot of flack for going to Russia, China, North Korea. But he said, I will go anywhere and speak to anyone as long as I can speak freely of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what he did. His international ministry was launched with a 12-week crusade in Haringey in 1954, culminating in a big final event at Wembley Stadium. It was fascinating when we talked about it at our Holy Communion service last Thursday, and we were about 12, and there were four or five people who said, oh yes, I have heard Billy Graham speak personally. Would be interesting. Would you mind putting your hand up if you've heard Billy Graham speak? Oh my word, that's quite something, isn't it? It's a lot of people. John Packer, British theologian, has said, the Haringey Crusade was by far the most momentous religious event in 20th century Britain. I wasn't there, but I take his word for it. Billy Graham's impact was astounding. And of course, his influence went far wider than just his own evangelistic events. He showed how diverse churches can work together in evangelism. And some of you will remember in the 1990s, the local churches in our area put on the big tent event. Does anyone remember that one? Yeah. Okay, quite a few. Well, that event was very much modeled on Billy Graham's missions. What is a Christian? He asks in that little clip. In our gospel reading, we continue to journey with Jesus to the cross. And today we witness how he is questioned, interrogated before the assembled religious leaders. And what we witness is his integrity and his clear sense of calling. Jesus remains silent, as one so-called witness after the next tries to come up with an accusation that will warrant the death penalty. Because the judges have already made up their mind what the sentence must be. Jesus does not even defend himself when they hurl half-truths at him. He said he was going to destroy the temple and build another in 3 days. Yes, he did say something similar, but he was referring to his own death and resurrection. Why didn't he say, "Hang on a minute, let me explain"? He didn't. Finally, the high priest brings things to a head. "Are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" Throughout Mark's gospel, we can see how Jesus avoids answering this question directly, because the time for him to reveal his full identity hasn't come yet. It would hinder his mission. It would make his enemies want to stop him even more. But now, hours before his death, the time has come. "Are you the Messiah?" Which, by the way, is the Hebrew version of the word we all know, Christ. Are you the Christ? Are you the anointed one from God? Are you the Son of God? "I am," Jesus answers. And in that religious court, all hell breaks loose when he says that. Not only is he saying that he's the Son of God, but the expression he uses, "I am," Yahweh in Hebrew, is the sacred name of God himself, which devout Jews do not speak out aloud. Jesus says, "Yes, I'm the Christ, the anointed one from God, the Son of God. God himself." What is a Christian? Every person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the crucified and risen Lord. One of the things that Billy Graham articulated so clearly was the need for every human being to respond to the person of Jesus, his teaching, his life, his death, his resurrection. It's obvious in our gospel account that the religious leaders responded to Jesus and his claims. They didn't stay neutral, and neither can we. Someone has said, "God has no grandchildren," meaning you cannot inherit being a Christian. You have to respond yourself, or in Billy Graham's words, accept Jesus in your heart. He was sometimes criticized for this, and I think there is a danger that we shorten the good news of Jesus into making a decision at some point in your life and then carrying on regardless with no impact on your life. It's the kind of get your ticket into heaven mentality, with no change to our lives. But Billy Graham understood very clearly, and he communicated very clearly, that accepting Christ as Lord has consequences. Now, as a person, he was far from perfect. He made some mistakes and misjudgments, but Billy Graham lived what he preached. And over time, he threw his weight behind critical social issues of the day, such as racial segregation in the United States. Believing in the biblical sense isn't a tick box exercise. It isn't just accepting that a statement is probably true, such as we say, "I believe the sun will rise tomorrow." Believing in the biblical sense means trusting Jesus with our whole lives, having him at the center. Billy Graham called it accepting Jesus into your heart. In our first reading, the Apostle Peter expresses it like this: in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. In your hearts, sanctify, set apart, enthrone Christ as Lord. What is a Christian? Someone who sanctifies Christ as Lord. Now, when you and I hear the word Lord, we might think of a group of elderly aristocrats in Parliament. But of course, in Jesus' day, the word Lord signified an absolute ruler. Caesar claimed for himself the title Lord. And as a consequence, the Christians got into serious trouble because they said, no, the only one who is truly in charge isn't Caesar, it's Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And we sanctify him in our hearts. We give him the central place before anything or anyone else. That's what a Christian is. Sometimes Billy Graham received letters from children. Here's one. After your services, wrote Morris, aged 12, my dad has changed. He asked my sister, my brother, me, all these things. And at the end he said, I love you all. And it is this transformation that Jesus brings that will cause other people to ask questions. In our reading, the Apostle Peter writes, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. They might be hostile, but they can't deny that we have changed, that we are different, that we have a hope that is not dependent on our outward circumstances. And when they ask, let's make sure we can give an answer. We can give an account of the hope that is within us. As you'd expect, Billy Graham was always ready to give an account of it. He was an evangelist. When he had to do a sound check for a radio or TV program, he didn't count to 10, as most people do, in the microphone. 1, 2, 3, testing. 4, 5, 6, testing. Instead, he quoted John 3:16 through the microphone. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son just to make sure that the sound operator heard the gospel. Chances are that none of us will be the next Billy Graham, and that's okay. We don't have to. What we can all do is be prepared for the moment when people ask, what is a Christian? And why are you a Christian? A friend of mine recommends that we all sit down and write an answer to the question, why are you a Christian, in no more than 100 words. Sometimes that's all the time we have. 1 minute, and then make sure you know that answer you've written down so that we are ready. Responding to the good news of Jesus is not a one-off. We need to do it daily, weekly. Sometimes there are special occasions. I know in my life there have been some significant moments that I remember when I either recommitted my life to Jesus or when there were areas of my life where I suddenly realized, God, I haven't given you first place in that part of my life. And so I responded to the good news of Jesus. As a church here in Denham, we have a vision. It is to pray like Jesus, welcome like Jesus, and share like Jesus. In short, to help one another to become more like Jesus and to show Jesus to those around us. And as I mentioned earlier, to put this vision into action, we are invited to respond. Let's move forward together. Let's learn how we can share our faith in a natural way, to pray for each other, to meet in life groups, to support the mission of this church with a monthly financial gift. There are so many ways in which we can do that. None of us is asked to tick all the boxes on the back of the page. But I believe that God is asking each one of us to prayerfully consider which one step or two steps we could explore on this journey of becoming more Christ-like. Because the person and the work of Jesus demands a response. In a few moments, we are going to respond to Jesus by receiving bread and wine together. Jesus, you have given yourself for me. As I receive bread and wine, I receive you again as Lord of my life. In my heart, I sanctify you as Lord. That's what Holy Communion is. You may have heard the word altar call. Big missions typically have what is called an altar call, an opportunity to respond to the message and to accept Jesus into our hearts. Well, Holy Communion is literally an altar call. We kneel before the altar. We receive Christ. When the high priest asks Jesus, "Are you the Son of God?" Jesus answers, "I am." And you will see the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. One day, Jesus will return, and everyone will see him for who he truly is, the one in charge of the world that he has created. But you and I can respond today. Give him the central place in our lives. Let him renew us, transform us. And how amazing it will be when we see him face to face. Here is what Billy Graham said about that day. Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you invite us into this adventure of following Jesus, of sanctifying him as Lord in our hearts and lives, and then to see what you do. As we receive the bread and the wine today, fill us again with your Holy Spirit, so we can live for your glory. Amen.